Careers Ahead on Talk About with Mary Lucy in association with Cara Credit Union.
Yeah, and you're very welcome back to Talk About this afternoon. It is time for a career slot with Mary Lucy of Careers Ahead. Thanks for joining us, Mary. Appreciate
Thanks, Mark. Lovely to be here.
So we've got a very important career slot this week because the CAO change of mind is the 1st of July.
Yeah.
So could you tell us what exactly that is? What do people need to know around that?
Okay, well, the CAO change of mind is an opportunity for students to nearly start from scratch again and decide exactly what they want for their final submission for CAO choices for level 6, 7 and level 8. Now, there are some restrictions. If it's a restricted course, that means that there's an additional entry requirement, like an interview or a portfolio, that's or something, or an audition they have to attend. So they can't be added for the change of mind application. But otherwise, it's like a blank sheet again, and they can start again and complete their choices.
And would it be mainly, I suppose, people who are wanting to relook at things after the exams? Is that kind of the main use for it?
Well, it has changed over the years. Initially, people would have put a huge amount of thought into the first choice cut-off, say the 1st of February, and then made some minor changes maybe towards 1st of July. But now a lot of people don't even put any choices in for the 1st of February cut-off unless it's a restricted course, and they leave everything until July. So some people will make huge changes completely. Some will nearly be starting from scratch apart from just applying for the CAO. So it depends. They will base it on, a lot of people will be researching since February on different options and what they're good at, what they might like, what they may enjoy. Others will base it on exams and how they felt they did and the points that they might achieve, as they think.
Yeah. Very good. Well, look, we've got loads of queries to get to, so we might start cracking on those if that's
who's
Mary.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Perfect. Jane got in touch to ask if it's just CAO points that have to be met to get an offer of a course. Is there any other criteria? Her son is not quite sure.
Yeah, and a lot of the students actually think it's all based on CAO points, but there are other criteria as well. In addition to meeting CAO points, there's a minimum entry requirements for all of the courses. If it's a level 6 or 7 course, you must pass 5 subjects, and normally includes maths and English, perhaps. If it's a level 8 honours degree, you must pass 6 subjects. So irrespective of the points, unless you pass the 6 subjects, well, then you won't get an offer. And the third criteria that has to be met is that some courses require specific subjects. So a typical example would be for primary school teaching, you need a particular grade in Irish. If you're doing a science subject, you might want a science subject. So the three items are the minimum entry requirements, if there's specific subjects that have to be met, and then the CAO points. And once you achieve the three of those entry criteria, you're offered a place for the course that you've done.
Yeah, and obviously kind of more specific courses might have a specific requirement for a specific subject.
That's right, yeah.
Relating to
yeah.
that as well, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, they meet, and every year in September when the CAO offers come out, or the end of August, I get calls from people saying, you know, I got so many points, you know, I didn't get an offer, you know, I don't know what's wrong, I'm trying to contact the CAO. But when they tell me the results, they got the points, but they may have missed out on a grade for a specific subject. So they really need to check and see, like, have I got what? Well, the course I'm going for, is it possible for me to meet all the entry requirements? And then to make sure they know what they are.
Yeah, and I think some people, well, I know this was the case maybe a few years ago, but maybe had a misconception that, oh, if you need to do all these courses, you need, let's say, a foreign language or something like that. Yeah. But similarly, it goes the other way, where just check, you might not need all of those
That's
things.
That's right,
you know,
yeah. And some colleges, you do need an additional third language, especially the University of Ireland, that grouping. But even some of those colleges now are starting to look and see, well, do you really need another language to do a particular course? So some of them are changing. So again, that's something else that you have to look out for.
Yeah.
And careful, you know, what the entry criteria is for what you're hoping to get.
For the specific course, yeah.
Yeah.
Does Mary have any idea the way the points might increase for the courses this year? That's a tough question.
I'm asked that always. I think, unfortunately, I don't have that kind of insight. I know that the CAO have released the statistics for the courses that were applied for under the different areas like education, medicine, things like that, from the 1st of February. And if anybody wants to check them, they're on the CAO website. There's statistics, one option there. And I have looked at those, and certain areas, there's big jumps, and certain areas they've dropped it. But what I find is that from the 1st of February, so many people make such changes around that I don't know how relevant really it is. You know, the colleges themselves probably use them to gauge, you know, marketing, etc. But I don't know how relevant it is because some people, you know, will change around completely. If people that are going for dentistry, medicine, things like that, they tend not to change because they're so focused and there's additional requirements. So they'll be really focused on going for those courses. But other than that, people can change, you know, they change their mind completely from working with students. So it depends. Every year they kind of go in swings and roundabouts. A lot of, if there's a lot of employment in a particular area, that might shoot up for 1 year. If there's media or, you know, there's a lot of marketing about a particular area, that might shoot up. You know, the year with COVID, the science subjects, they were all, everybody was going for science, you know. So I can't predict it, unfortunately. So, and but people can only do their best at the end of the day.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And if there's a big jump by February, do you find maybe it balances out a small bit by the summer?
That's what happens normally. Yeah. You know, and I suppose the important message to get across to people is that, like, you must ensure that before the change of mind, the 1st of July date, you have adequately researched everything you've put down. It's so important, you know, and that everything you've listed is a course you would be happy to get an offer of. And, you know, sometimes people put their choices down based on points. This shouldn't be. It should be based on their preference, because a course that is 500 points is not necessarily better than a course that's 350 points. If the course that's 350 points is what you really want and would suit you better. And at the last minute, people panic if they leave it too late and they make changes just before they submit it. And then they regret they've made those changes. So, like, you know, there's, I know people are still doing exams until the 23rd is the final exam, I think. So from that, you still have a week that you can consider. So don't leave it until the last minute with the CEO change of mind, because every year again, I mean, I'm tired of saying this, but every year it happens, the students contact me at the end of August. They say, at the last minute, I changed my mind because I thought, but now I'm sorry, you know, and they've been offered the course they don't want.
Another listener, their daughter isn't sure what courses they should list. If she puts down arts as her first choice, can she change her mind next year and change course again?
A lot of people have this kind of opinion that we'll select arts because it's very general and they'll be fine and they'll start college. But what a lot of people don't realise is that if you can't just change as in going to second year in another course, you can change in going back into first year. But if you do that, your fees will be doubled for the year because you already have completed a first year in college. And from my experience, the students who tend to just select a course for the sake of doing it, they don't really, you know, engage fully in the course. They tend to have a great time during the year at huge expense, but they tend not to really get a huge amount out of it, even though they are moving away from home. So, like, you are building independence and you will always learn something from any college course. I would suggest that someone would select a course that they really want and do something in the further education training sector for the year, or work for the year, or I think that's more beneficial. It would be more beneficial to them from a professional development perspective rather than just picking a course for the sake of it if they don't know what to do.
Another listener, their son wants to apply for an apprenticeship. Apprentices are listed on the CAO website, but is that where he should apply? And again, that's another option available to people as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, there's over 70 plus apprenticeships, and a number of the apprenticeships nowadays equate to an honours degree, a level 8 degree, or a level 7 ordinary degree. So you can decide, I will get my level 7 degree or my level 8 degree, I will go through the apprenticeship route and I will be paid while I'm training or while I'm being qualified. So it's a great option. Now, it is a bit confusing because about 5 years ago, the Minister for Education at the time decided that he wanted to include the CAO, all the options outside of just third level CAO options. So he included apprenticeships and further education and training on the CAO website. And that caused a lot of confusion because people thought, I need to apply here through the CAO. But in actual fact, it was just to explain to people the different options and routes they can take for further and higher ed qualifications. So the person who wants to apply for an apprenticeship, what the first step is actually to get an employer in the area that you want the apprenticeship. So once you have an employer, the employer then will follow up on hiring you and registering you as an apprentice. If the apprenticeship is a level 7, 8 and it's an industry-related apprenticeship, on the apprenticeship.ie website, that's apprenticeship.ie, there'll be information about how to follow up on it. So you don't apply through the CAO website, there's just information about apprenticeships on the CAO website.
It's just to show people it's there, yeah.
Yeah. And the whole idea was that he felt that people were really over-consumed about going to college, as in third level, and that many students didn't even consider apprenticeships or the further education route, and they should do that. And by including these options on the website, people would start to look at them and research them.
Yeah, super. A Leaving Cert student got in touch. He cannot decide between studying business or engineering. Is there any way he can keep both options open and make his mind up when the Leaving Cert results are issued? Two very different courses.
They are, yeah. But in actual fact, he can, because a lot of students look at just the level 8 options, which are the honours degree, and they don't look at the level 7 option. And if you opt for a level 7 ordinary degree, you can do 1 year add-on once you finish that and you have your level 8. So you still come out with the same level 8 honours degree as someone who started, say, on the level 8 straight. One is called an ab initio degree and one is called add-on. So that student who rang, he can put engineering for his level 8 and business for his level 7, or business for his level 8 and engineering options for his level 7. And what he can do is, when the CAO offers come out, he can decide, well, what am I going to take? And just to highlight people, even though they will get an offer from the level 7 and level 8 option, they can only accept one, just in case someone would click on a level 7 and they realise they've cancelled. Because you just have one choice to accept a course you're offered, and it cancels anything else you're offered there. So that's a good way. And I mean, students who really are kind of caught between, you know, two courses, I would suggest that they would do that. Now, there won't be level 7s offered in the universities, just in the technological universities. But he can look and see, like, engineering 7, business 8, or the opposite. And he still then has up until August to decide for definite what he wants.
Yeah, super. Brilliant stuff. Listener called Kevin emailed in saying his son refuses to include a local college in his choices. Is this a mistake?
Yes. I've said this a few times on other shows, is that, like, I meet so many students all around, irrespective of the county they're from, and they just can't wait to move away from home. And I always say, have you considered a local college? And they said, oh no, the local colleges won't be any good. Like, you know, they want to get away from home. They don't want to be chased by parents all the time. Like, what are you doing 24/7? And I said, that's all fine, but, like, they still should put it somewhere, the local college somewhere. Because every year as well, I inevitably get a call from a student, maybe around November, to say, like, that, you know, they absolutely hate where they've been to college. They hate being away from home. They miss their friends. They miss their family, even though they thought they wouldn't in a million years miss them. And they really feel lost, you know. And they say, like, is there any way I can get back for the second semester to Kerry or wherever they're coming from? And you can contact the admissions, team in the local college. And if the course is very similar, they may be able to, and they may allow you to transfer into semester 2 in the local college, or they may allow you to transfer to second year based on each college. Now, I'm just emphasising, but they can't do that unless you have the local college down on the CAO form. So it must be there somewhere. And if you have it somewhere on a lower list somewhere, at least then they have it on the CAO form and the admissions team may consider it for them. It's funny, because I sometimes meet people and you really wouldn't think that they would be homesick, or you really wouldn't think they couldn't survive, because they seem so, like, independent and so, you know. But that's why it's always good to have a backup plan. And likewise, I meet sometimes some really, you know, introverted, shy students, and the parents are really concerned because they're considering moving away from home and they think that they won't survive. And in actual fact, sometimes they survive fine when they move away. They may be quiet, but they're quietly confident, you know. And sometimes somebody who's very extroverted and out there, when it comes down to it, they don't have the confidence maybe to be as happy as they should be when they move away from home.
Super. Well, we've loads more queries coming in. We have more coming in by text as well as we're speaking. We're going to get to those and lots more after we take these.
Talk About on Radio Kerry.
Careers Ahead on Talk About with Mary Lucy. in association with Cara Credit Union.
Yeah, and you're very welcome back to Talk About. We're here with Mary Lucy, founder of Careers Ahead, for a very important chat ahead of the CAO Change of Mind deadline, which is the 1st of July, so still a few weeks to go before that. We were just getting to a few listeners' queries. Claire got in touch, Mary, and her daughter just cannot decide on a course. They're at their wit's end. What should they do?
Well, don't just pick a course for the sake of it. What I would do is that there's still a couple of weeks, as you said, probably get a, to have a chat with somebody to see can they explore an option or identify something that perhaps they hadn't thought of. Don't feel under pressure to go to college. And I do think a lot of students feel, oh, my friend is going, you know, my cousins are going, I should be going too, I should know what I want to do. An awful lot of students, I can guarantee you, are opting for courses that they don't really want and they don't know enough about them because they think they should be going to college. So I would say take a year. If they're working part-time even, or go full-time in the year, during the year, explore options they might like to do, take a look at further education, take a look at apprenticeships that we just mentioned earlier. You know, expand. Once they put a plan in place that's going to result in them having achieved something by the end of the year, I think that's what's important. And time again, I've said, like, working, like you can never compare to the skills you'll develop, the abilities you'll learn, how to deal with people. If you're working in a local cafe, in a local shop, you're going to come across all kinds of people and you're going to develop skills that you will never learn in college. So even to get them to work for a year, you know, to do the driving test, maybe to save up, get a car, you know, it opens up so many options even for them going to college. So don't stress too much from the point of view of don't put too much pressure on the person that they have to go to college. You know, if they see there's other options out there for them, they may even find a course then when the stress is taken off them. But like, it's not the be end all, you know, I mean, they can take their time. They're only 18, 19, a year, once they're doing something to enhance them in some way for the year.
Yeah.
Would be my advice.
Excellent. Caller says, my son is adamant he wants to go to UL to do a sports-related course as his three best friends are also planning to do this. I feel he's letting his friends over-influence his choice. What advice would Mary have? And that's actually funny. I was going to ask you about this as well, because when you're talking about people who just can't decide what to do, how important is that, you know, or how difficult is it to get across to people? It doesn't matter what your friends are doing or where your friends are going.
Yeah. It is difficult. And I find as well what happens is that some of the students, they may have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, whatever, and they want to go to the same location that they're going to. And, you know, I always say to them, well, what happens if you break up in 3 months? You know, and they say,
I'm sure they're delighted
with
that.
That won't happen. That won't happen. And I said, well, if it's not meant to happen, it won't. But it could happen. And you have made your decision based on, you know, incorrect, like, you know, the choice is it's not right to make a decision on, for a college course based on somebody else or for another reason like that. It's one thing that you must really decide and be completely selfish from the point of view, what suits me best, you know. And when they do say about their friends or their girlfriends, boyfriends, I say, well, you can meet at weekends, you know, you can meet. It doesn't mean you have to finish everything, or it doesn't mean you can't meet your friends. Of course you can. And you're going to have, you know, a much wider circle of friends. So normally when I do talk to them after we have a session, they actually agree with me in the end, and they do change their minds, because like you couldn't believe the amount of people who do want to go with friends. And I suppose there's an element of it that the security that I'm going to know, like I'm going to have two guys with me and we'll all go to college together, we'll walk in together. But that's a lack of, you know, kind of self-esteem that they feel, I need somebody as well. Whereas they don't need somebody. They'll meet new people. Everybody will feel exactly the same when they start college. Even though some will look really confident, they're not inside. They'll all be the same. The colleges are well aware of this, and that's why they have the induction week and they have all kinds of activities so people get to know each other. And like an awful lot of the time is that the friends then would go and visit them in the other college, you know, and they'd meet their new friends. So to try to emphasise that, and like, unless that student can answer everything you could possibly ask about the course they're going to do, the sports-related course, you know, what is involved, what are the modules involved, is there work placement, what can he do when he finishes the course? Because he probably thinks, he loves sports, my friends are going here, and I'm going to do that. And unfortunately, with some of the males, that's the way they think about the college course. And even doing sports, it's a science degree they're doing. So they may say to me, well, I hate science, but I love sports. And I mean, 50% of the modules will be science and probably 50% sports. But they're not looking at it that way. They're looking at the sports element. So that's why it's important to find out exactly what's involved in the course. Is it right for me? And what can I do afterwards? And when you kind of ask those questions and they can't answer any of them, you have a fairly good idea that they don't really know what they're picking at that time, yeah. You know. But to emphasise and to get them used to going up to the college, wherever they're hoping to go, on their own, like, and get them more independent even over the summer is important as well, I think.
And a lot of the courses would have kind of module guides, I presume, you know, available online.
Oh, yeah, you can. So if there's a particular, there's a code attached to each college course. If you click on the website for that code, it will show you what's involved in the year, an overview. It will show you the modules, and then you can click into each module and see. And some people are quite shocked. You know, I know one course, time and time again, I mention it's nutrition, or, you know, and there's a huge amount of chemistry in it. Okay. Whereas people think, I'm going to be talking about going to the gym, eating properly, you know, and in actual fact, they're faced with a lot of modules relating to chemistry, and they really struggle. So you need to look and see what's involved in the college course. Sometimes the name, it doesn't do exactly as it says on the tin, as they say, you know. And colleges as well, you know, they change course titles to make them attractive to students. But the content may not change hugely. So something that's attractive to a student may not reflect 100% what's in the college, the content. So they need to check that out.
And going back to the friends, I mean, I know friends of mine that have gone, let's say, away to college where they don't know anyone. And like, you don't believe until you go how easy it is to make friends in college. Like, because everyone's in the same boat.
Yeah, you know. And as well, I suppose, they have to remember as well that at the moment, he thinks that three of his friends are going to do sports in UL. The change of mind is coming around. And if the friends are thinking clearly, they will look and see what's the right course for me, and it may not be. So they may have suddenly decided they're going to Cork or they're going to stay in Kerry or whatever. So he may not have the three friends going to UL. He may end up on his own there. So he has to think of all that.
Yeah. Another listener wants to ask, should their son focus on a course that will result in a definite career path or opt for a more general course like arts? Tough question as well.
Well, it depends what they are hoping to do long term. For some long term aims, they will have to select something like arts. And also, if they want to do, well, just take for example, they want to be a secondary school teacher and say they struggle academically with the Leaving Cert, so they may not achieve the points required to go directly into secondary school teaching. But they may be quite, they may, like, secondary school is so different to third level college academically. So some people thrive in third level college, whereas they struggled with the system in second level school. So they could use the arts then to do their initial degree and do a postgrad teaching degree in something else. So it means if I get 500 points, I'm going directly into secondary school teaching for a particular subject area. If I get 300 points, I can do arts and then go in. So from that perspective, it's a great way to get there. There are some courses that you will have a definite career afterwards if you go straight into teaching, nursing, something like that. Others, you do have to kind of start with arts and then explore through postgrad. So it depends on the career they want to go into. So I would be saying to that person, like, if, and I say this to students, if I had a magic wand and I could wave it, what would you love to be doing? Forget about points courses. What would you absolutely love to be doing? And then you map out how to get there.
And work back from there almost,
That's what I do. I tell them, and we work back. And if there isn't a direct route, then we carve out a way to get there. The more scenic view.
Yeah, excellent, yeah. Another listener says, are there other options than a Leaving Cert should look at outside of applying to the CAO?
Yeah, well, as we mentioned, apprenticeships certainly, and just to be aware, there's apprenticeships. It's not just in the craft areas. People automatically associate crafts like electrical apprenticeship, plumbers, carpentry, that kind of stuff. There's a lot of industry-based apprenticeships in business, in science, in marketing, in sales and recruitment, all those they can take a look at. And they can also take a look at the further education sector. And in this sector, there's also the traineeships and the PLC courses, or the further education courses, and they're wonderful options. A traineeship is a very work-based focused course, there's at least 30% of the course that you're actually in the workplace and the rest you're training. It's normally, they can be short term, like maybe 6 months to a year long. And it's very focused on getting you ready for a particular sector or a particular role in employment. The PLC courses then, and as you know, Kerry College here is a great college and, you know, a very attractive option for people. Don't be fooled to think that, you know, a PLC, you opt for PLC if you don't do well in the Leaving Cert, or if you don't, you're not good in school, you do. That's really a myth. There's people doing PLC courses who have very high points. They're just not sure what to do next and they want to be more prepared for college, or they feel they're not ready to move away from home quite yet and they want another year to mature and to become a little bit more independent. With the PLC course, there is focus on, there's two types of focus. There's a focus on one type of course, which is employment, where they're getting you ready for to work in a particular sector. And the other focus is on progression. And that is, with you're doing a year's course with the aim to get into a college or preparing you for a college course. But just to be clear, you can use either of the courses to get into college, even though it sounds a bit confusing, but one just has a more focus on employment, okay, rather than focus on further studies.
Excellent. We're almost out of time. We probably have time for just one or two brief queries. Listener whose daughter is aged 23 years would like to pursue a career as a special needs assistant. She completed her QQI level 5 a year ago.
If she is the QQI level 5 in special needs assisting, that's all she will need. Obviously, the more experience she has, the better, so she can apply for positions now for the for SNA positions.
Excellent.
Yeah. And but keep upskilling all the time and looking at other options in the whole area of health and safety and all that, because anything additional you have going as an applicant for an interview for an SNA position is a bonus.
Brilliant. And finally, just can you ask Mary if it's possible to add STEM points to CAO at this stage? They weren't included when making the application initially.
Yeah, well, the STEM points, they are bonus points that are given if you apply for a STEM course. Normally for females, if they apply for STEM course, STEM course is science, technology, engineering and maths. So they could call it, they could contact the college admissions and see if they would allow them to include them at this stage.
Brilliant.
Or to contact the CEO and see.
Super. We're just about out of time, but thanks for coming in, Mary, and sharing all that advice with us. You've got a very busy couple of weeks ahead of you, I presume.
I have, yeah. It doesn't seem to, always seems to be busy.
Yeah.
And the best luck to everyone with their CEO, change your mind.
Yeah.
Take your time. Don't rush it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, super.
Thanks,
great
Mark.
Stuff. Thanks, Mary. We'll have lots more to come on the way and talk about after we take these.